A garden, a harbor, a holy place. A place where we can feel safe till the morning light. That's what God created this earth to be. In an act of extravagant hospitality, God made the earth welcoming to us by providing everything necessary to life for you and for me and for the nearly 8 billion people who are living here today. Not just some of what we'd need, but all that we would need, and in such an abundance as to support us all if we attend to the needs of one another. Scholars use the term God's household economy to represent this complete and total ecosystem. One big household, one big family. A member of this large family, Paul, begins his letter to the church at Rome by talking about obedience to God and the gospel message he is called to proclaim. Rome is the heart of the empire, the same empire whose agents crucified Jesus, the foundation of the first century church, and Paul's personal savior. And even so, Paul has longed to visit Rome for all the years of his ministry. This letter is his final letter. It represents the culmination of his theology and of his teaching, even as it espouses his goal to travel to Rome and share his message. The opening chapter touches on the ethnic and cultural divide between Romans and Jews, even as Paul tells the Romans that the good news about God's love and God's grace is for all people. Paul has spent his years as an apostle taking the message of God's love and grace to those who were born outside the Jewish faith. He's traveled through the ancient Middle East, through parts of Asia, and he's now moving into Europe with the message that says God, who created all this earth, all this big household economy, this pretty planet, wants the doors opened for all the people of earth. It's a message of generous hospitality, one that Paul carries with great humility, placing the concerns and the needs of others in the world foremost in his thoughts, his words, and his actions. I am obligated to all, Paul writes, obligated to preach the good news of God's reconciliation with humanity, no matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your past mistakes. You are all God's children, Paul tells his audiences. You are all loved. You are all eagerly sought by God, who gave you life and who now offers you abundant and eternal life. Recently, I viewed a webinar in which some forward-thinking clergy were discussing what the practice of our faith might look like as we emerge from this COVID-19 crisis. Will people actually return to church buildings, having grown very comfortable watching church while at home wearing their pajamas and sipping their coffee? You know what I mean. For me, one of the big takeaways from that conversation was the reminder that the church's role and the preacher's role is to talk about matters of life and death, abundant life as well as eternal life. If we are failing to talk about matters of life and death, then regardless of quarantine, we are not giving people anything that draws them into a life of faith. Paul preached about the good news of eternal life, but he also talked a lot about the very real values associated with abundant living, and he lived his life after the example of Jesus. He spoke about the importance of forgiveness. In his letters, he wrote about tending to the needs of others. Paul believed that faith came first, that forgiveness from God and relationship with God comes through believing in Jesus as the Son of God and in Jesus' resurrection from death, and that faith and the accompanying gift of the Holy Spirit leads to a changed heart, and that leads to an enlarged world view. The fruits of that Holy Spirit, that gift, he wrote to the Galatian church, are love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fruits he believed we should apply to all the people of earth. And time and again, Paul stressed that in God's view, there was no hierarchy of the world's people. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, he says, neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, for all are one in Christ Jesus. That is the life-giving, life-affirming message of the church for us today as well. In our nation right now, we are living through an exceptional season, a season of social distancing and fear and anxiety, of supply shortages and high unemployment that have impacted every aspect of our daily lives. It's been a season also marked by tensions boiling over on issues of race and ethnicity and aspects of U.S. history and systems that have reinforced racial prejudice. I believe the life-affirming message the church has to offer in this time is the same as Paul's message, that in Christ we all are one. One people, one big human family living on this pretty planet, our one big, complete household. In order to offer that message to the world, we need to open the doors that have been closed in our own hearts in order to fully love and fully respect one another. We need to exercise deep humility in order to love and treat others as we want to be treated. And so if that means that I need to wear my mask in public in order to prevent the spread of disease, then I wear my mask, and I hope that you do too. It's the most loving thing that we can do for friends and family and neighbors and even for strangers in this season. If it means that we should refrain from hoarding supplies in order that others get what they need to live, well, isn't that part of God's vision for the world since the beginning? If it means that we who are well off need to help and support those who are struggling to make ends meet, there are many avenues we can use, from supporting food pantries and local businesses to asking our elected officials to provide additional incentives and tax relief to the most vulnerable persons and families in our nation. And it also means listening to persons of color speak about their experiences of racism in our nation and committing ourselves to a humble examination of our lives, our perceptions, our practices, and learning to undo some of the harm that has been done. Now, those are just a few examples that I came up with about loving as we would want to be loved, forgiving as we would want to be forgiven, understanding as we would want to be understood. That's treating one another as one big family, living in one large household on this pretty planet of ours. That's a message of extravagant hospitality, one that can lead us to a unity of loving kindness and generous grace. May we in the 21st century endeavor to live as Paul lived in that first century, thankful for all our siblings throughout the world who encourage us and whom we have the opportunity to encourage. Unashamed of the gospel message that teaches us who God is and how that knowledge shapes our lives and our purposes. And strong and firm in our own faith in the one who made us, who loves us, and who gives us abundant and eternal life. Amen.